20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, thanks so much for joining me, especially on this Packers game day. Packers-Giants, noon kickoff, Central Time at least. This is what feels like a massively important game for Green Bay. The Packers just need to find a way to get a win, to get things back on track, to find some momentum and just get back, hopefully, to some winning ways and then get to Green Bay next week as they take on the Minnesota Vikings. This one's interesting. There's a lot to dive into. We're going to get to our keys to the game, my final predictions, including some news and notes as well from Saturday. Let's jump in right away. First of all, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, JLem768 and Mike Graves. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Make sure to check out those memberships. Also, if you'd be so kind as to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those things help the channel a ton. As mentioned, we did have some interesting news from Saturday. The first one, Brandon McManus, fresh off the injury report. He's good to go. The long nightmare is over. There is no more injury report for Brandon McManus, and they still have two kickers on the roster for some reason. And all of a sudden on Saturday, Brandon McManus goes from off the injury report to doubtful with the same injury that he already had. Unlikely, you would think, that Brandon McManus is going to kick in this game. It would be... He's doubtful. Can you imagine now after being doubtful if we get to game day and Brandon McManus is still the kicker? I think Packers fans would rightfully lose it with that decision, but they didn't mark him out. They could have just marked him out. They didn't. They left open that, you know, the door a sliver just for, you know, the thought and idea that they could still activate Brandon McManus on game day. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Nothing about the Packers kicking situation is predictable. More on that momentarily. Also, that wasn't the only thing in that update from Saturday. Malik Heath ruled out, not due to an injury. He did not travel with the team due to a coach's decision. Note, not a personal matter for Malik Heath. Note, not an injury, a coach's decision. Now, I cannot think of a reason, at least a happy, positive, good reason, why there would be a coach's decision to not have Malik Heath join the team. This, you know, by all indications, would point to some sort of disciplinary action. Now, it's easy to jump to conclusions. We don't know exactly what happened. We'll see if Matt LaFleur says anything in his post-game press conference. I'm assuming he'll probably punt on it and say, we're going to keep that all in-house. But I know people want to immediately say, hey, you know, well, he didn't get, you know, the targets and the snaps last week. Bo Melton, the corner, wide receiver again, Bo Melton outsnapped him, got more targets than him. Maybe that was a piece of it. Maybe it's as something as simple as he missed the walkthrough or missed a team meeting or overslept for something. Or maybe it's a, you know, accumulation of events like it was with Jaire Alexander in the coin toss situation. We don't know. Maybe we'll never know. Maybe we'll find out on Sunday. We'll have to kind of wait and see. But usually not a great sign for Malik Heath, especially when sometime in the near future, Jaden Reed is going to come back. And that's going to put you with a logjam at wide receiver already to the point where they probably need to release a wide receiver. And the wide receiver that's most likely to be released is probably Malik Heath. And this certainly does not help his cause in any way, shape, or form. So not a great sign for Malik Heath, and certainly you don't want that as a Packers fan to see any sort of turmoil or anything, right? And I've seen people already of like, oh, Matt's losing the locker room. That seems like a pretty aggressive jump to a conclusion. I would say, you know, it's probably, again, a disciplinary action for something Malik Heath did, and that technically, what I would say is actually a sign of leadership. If you're actually suspending a player that did something wrong, that or at least leaving them behind for something he did wrong, that again usually shows leadership, not the opposite of it. But we're just going to have to wait and see as more information comes out. Anything else is just a hypothetical or a jump to conclusion at this point. But again, not a great sign for Malik Heath. All right, last thing I want to get to from sort of this negative side of thing. I want good vibes going into Packers. I need good vibes going into Packers Giants, okay? But we've got to cover this McManus thing. Injured October 8th in practice. miss the Bengals and the Cardinals game where Lucas Haversick goes perfect in those games. McManus then plays against the Steelers. He goes 2 for 4, misses 2 field goals. He plays against the Panthers, goes 2 for 3, misses an easy, makeable field goal. They lose by 3. Plays against the Eagles, goes 0 for 1. It was like a 65 whatever yarder. I can understand that one. But they did pass up two longer 50-ish plus, 55, 56, 57 yard field goals in that game, and they lost by 3 points. So he's been 4 of 8, even if you want to say 4 of 7, if we're going to, you know, give him some forgiveness for the final 65 yard or whatever. But that one wasn't even close, by the way. He missed it by forever. Like, it wasn't, didn't even sniff the, you know, the distance or the, you know, accuracy on that kick. So 4 for 8, maybe 4 for 7 again, if we're giving him the accident forgiveness on that one. And it has not gone great for the entire Brandon McManus experience. Meanwhile, he continues to be beat up. Haversick's been on the 53-man roster this entire time. As an aside, a little side quest here, that decision to keep the two kickers, which now maybe keeping Haversick is, you know, worked out because they need him in this game. But what I'll add on to that is, if they just would have placed McManus on injured reserve originally, it probably saves them Ben Sims, who I don't think changes the trajectory of the season in any significant way. But when you lose Tucker Kraft, and then Ben Sims is now a Minnesota Viking, and you don't have that tight end that you'd prefer to probably be your number three tight end, and you have to bring up Josh Wiley from the practice squad. Like I said, that's a little side quest that didn't go probably according to plan for Green Bay. McManus, again, now doubtful for this game, and Haversick likely going to be the kicker. All of this potentially could have been avoided if you just place McManus on injured reserve when he initially gets hurt. You let Haversick be the kicker for a month or whatever it takes, let McManus actually heal, and then you can make that decision once Haversick is played the 4 weeks and McManus is ready to come back and kick. All right, well, how did Haversick do? And by the way, there's not exactly like a gun to your head of like, hey, you have to activate McManus right away. If Haversick is crushing it, let him keep kicking. And if he's not after those first two games, you know, after the 2 games following his 2 great perfect games, you know, then you can make the decision to go back to McManus. But instead, you've occupied 2 roster spots with 2 kickers, potentially costing you, you know, Ben Sims in the, you know, the time being while you kept 2 kickers on the roster. You've missed a bunch of field goals since going back to Brandon McManus. And, you know, you probably just didn't, you know, put Brandon McManus on IR when he needed to, so he could actually get healthy so that you know, when you need him, maybe later in the season, he could actually be healthy and good to go. Just a completely mismanaged kicker situation from really the word go. And the last thing I just want to say on this is Green Bay has really lost any benefit of the doubt with how they have handled injured players as of late. We've talked about this a little in the past, but it continues to be a pretty significant issue. Even Lucas Van Ness, and I get these are not exact scenarios, right? But like Lucas Van Ness could have been another that they placed on IR and then brought back after 4 weeks or however long he needed off. And it also would have potentially saved you that roster spot. Instead, he's out on sitting on your 53-man roster for over 4 weeks. That hurts you. We can go back to Christian Watson last year coming back from the leg injury. I don't know if the ACL was related to it or not, but he clearly was not 100% ready to go in that game when you brought him back in a game that really didn't even matter all that much. The Jaire Alexander situation a year ago where you bring him back again, or was it 2 years ago? I don't know. The Jaire injuries bleed together, but where he comes back, plays like 10 snaps against Chicago and then is like, nope, I can't play. Jordan Love last year probably brought back. I don't even think we need to say probably brought back at least a week or two too early. Probably should have let him get healthy. I understand that's quarterback. It's a little bit different, but man, Green Bay has not almost, I don't want to say ever, that's aggressive, but like they've really mismanaged some of these injury situations for a while now of when to bring somebody back, when not to bring somebody back. And hopefully today with LVN potentially being questionable, is it like, now we're going to have to almost be thinking of like, oh, did they bring him back too soon? Is he going to re-injure something? I don't know that there's a perfect answer here. I know it's not an easy situation. They need players to play. They want their best players to play. but it has been as messy as it could possibly be with this kicker situation. And just about every step along the way, it feels like they've made the wrong decision, not putting McManus on IR to begin with, then going back to McManus too early when Haversick was kicking well, keeping the two kickers on the roster, and then again, potentially losing Ben Sims because of it, then, you know, moving him off the injury report, looking like he's going to be good to go. Now he either re-injures something or re-aggravates it or whatever. Now he's not able to kick this week. It's just been an absolute mess. And hopefully Haversick can go out and kick well, and this kicker situation can just be, you know, forgotten about for the most part. We'll see if they put McManus on injured reserve now. I don't know. I trust nothing when it comes to Green Bay and special teams and the kickers, etc. Hopefully this game does not come down to a kick. We'll talk about that more in just a moment as well. But enough of that bad juju. We're wiping the slate clean now. The suspend or whatever that happened with Heath, we're moving past it. Whatever happened with McManus and Haversick, etc., we're moving past it. We are on to Packers Giants. So let's get to our injury report presented by Habish Rotier. Out for Green Bay, Nate Hobbs, and then, well, technically not an injury. We know Malik Heath also out for this game. Brandon McManus is now doubtful. Matthew Golden, LVN, and Savion Williams are questionable. Now, Green Bay did not call up anybody from the practice squad. That is a great sign for the Packers wide receivers and should mean, in all likelihood, that Matthew Golden and Savion Williams are good to play in this game. We'll want to keep an eye on it and inactive still. It's not 100% lead pipe lock. They do still have some wide receiver depth, especially with Bo Melton being able to play there as well. But I would think with no practice squad call-ups, it's probably a decent sign that at least one of, if not both, Matthew Golden and Savion Williams playing in this game. LVN is going to be the big one to keep an eye on as to whether or not he plays against New York. If he can go, awesome, great. Hopefully he's healthy and can make an impact in this game. They wouldn't need to play him a ton. They've got good rotation at defensive end, but we'll have to keep an eye on whether or not he is actually active or inactive for this game. Again, the big questionable one to keep an eye on, Lucas Van Ness. As far as the inactives go for Green Bay, pretty easy to sort of figure this one out. They only need to deactivate five players. We know Nate Hobbs, Malik Heath, and I guess probably Brandon McManus will be inactive for this game. Donovan Jennings, as their ninth offensive lineman, will almost surely be inactive for this game, which leaves one spot available, and it probably comes down to the defensive line. If LVN can't go, it'll be LVN. If he can, then it comes down to probably one of four players: Warren Brinson, Nasir Stackhouse, Baron Sorrell, or Aaron Mosby. And I could probably make an argument for just about any of the four. We saw them activate five defensive tackles last week. That's what I would preferably, you know, go with. I think that makes the most sense. But we've also seen them deactivate Warren Brinson in the past. But Brinson's played more and is arguably the better of the two between Brinson and Stackhouse. So maybe it's they finally deactivate Stackhouse and keep Brinson active. That there's an argument there either way. The other one is, now with LVN being back, you really don't need all of the defensive ends on your roster. And then you potentially have the idea of either going Baron Sorrell or Mosby. Mosby, a core special teamer, would be, I think, the likely one to stay active in this game. And I think Baron Sorrell, despite him playing really well a week before, could ultimately be the inactive player here. But a lot of that's going to be, again, dependent upon if they want to keep extra defensive end or extra defensive tackle. And maybe more importantly, just if LVN is able to go in this game or not. I'll say it one more time. LVN is the one to keep an eye on an hour and a half before kickoff, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, to see if he's able to go in this game or not. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 11. Yes, week 11, where does the time go? As Green Bay travels to New York and a chance for Green Bay to show they can actually beat a bad team. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Jordan Love to have a starring performance to help get that big road win. Elsewhere in week 11, I'm going with big games from Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Mahomes, and George Pickens. And here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the bigger payouts, go to the Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. I'm not sure about you guys, but it's a season for hosting a lot of holiday dinners, get-togethers, and big events, and all of that planning, cooking, and shopping can take a huge extra toll on my stress levels when there's already so much going on. That's why I leave the stress behind and rely on Omaha Steaks to help me prepare amazing meals for all of my family and friends this holiday season. And not to spoil some gifts for family members who may be listening, but I've definitely been picking up some Omaha Steaks as gifts, which makes holiday shopping super simple as well. The best part is that you can benefit with their Sizzle All The Way sale, which you can get 50% off. Yes, 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. I'm actually hosting a birthday get-together this week, and the freezer is stocked with amazing steaks and burgers from Omaha, which is making things super simple to prepare and plan for. And if you haven't tried the food yet, it's beyond incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I especially want to shout out their grass-fed, grain-finished beef that has more marbling for exceptional flavor. Now, Omaha Steaks is a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So don't miss out on this deal and save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com with code PACKADAY. For the Giants, they have the CVS receipt injury report this week. Jackson Dart, their quarterback, starting quarterback, of course, is out, as is Chauncey Golston, Evan Neal, who they actually placed on injured reserve on Saturday, Darius Slayton and Kayvon Thibodeau, all out for this game. Doubtful are Raheem Nunez-Roches, their defensive tackle, as well as Tyler Newbin, the safety. Questionable, Paulson Adebo and Bobby Okereke, two key defenders for them, starting linebacker and starting corner. So if you're, again, looking at the inactives an hour and a half, keep an eye on Paulson Adebo, their big free agent signing at corner, and their starting linebacker, Bobby Okereke. And that doesn't even include the fact that Cam Scadaboo, Malik Nabers, and Graham Gano, their kicker, are also on injured reserve and out for this game. As far as those transactions on Saturday for New York, again, Evan Neal placed on IR. They did call up Youngway Koo, who will be the kicker for New York in this game. They also called up defensive tackle Elijah Chapman and wide receiver Daylon Cambert. So for whatever that's worth, keep an eye out for those players as well. Let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. I'm not going anything out of the ordinary or crazy. I'm going Micah Parsons. Mike has been a little bit quiet. He's been a little bit more quiet. Now, a lot of that's the attention that he's getting along the offensive line of opposing teams. They're double-teaming him, triple-teaming him, chipping him, having a tight end help, all of those things, all of the above. I still think there's going to be some opportunity for Micah Parsons to be an impact player and make a couple impact plays in this game. Again, it's not going to be easy because they're not going to give him any one-on-ones, but we've seen Micah Parsons be able to split those in the past. I'm not super high on the Giants' offensive tackles. Andrew Thomas, pretty solid, but that's not the one Micah's going to be going against more often than not. So this is a potential game where Micah Parsons could have that huge impact. These are the ones where, again, Micah said last week, hey, we're still going to win a lot of games, kind of did his version of RELAX. And now if Micah can step up big in this one, maybe get a turnover for Green Bay. Jameis Winston, not the quickest, ball out of his hands quarterback in the world. He will hold on to the ball. He will make mistakes. And I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for Micah Parsons to cause some chaos and get after Jameis Winston in this one. If you haven't tried the Luigi's Gourmet Pizza Parlor Pepperoni Pizza, you are missing out. That's going to be my, hopefully, victory pizza today. Listen, this is a gourmet pizza parlor flavor without the gourmet pizza parlor price. You can get them in the local freezer section of your local grocer, and it still has the amazing Wisconsin mozzarella. Love the sauce. It's perfectly seasoned pepperonis. These things are absolutely delicious, and you're going to love the price point as well. Check them out again over at luigispizza.com and on social media at Luigi's Pizza. All right, let's get to the 12 keys for this game. I've got 12 of them per usual, and these were important ones. I think there's a lot to kind of get into in this one. Number one, can you control the chaos? It has been a chaotic week. You lose, and I'm not talking just about Green Bay here, but you lose to Philly on Monday. And as I've talked about earlier this week, you probably did some, study for New York ahead of time because you had the short week with Monday on, or the Eagles on Monday Night Football. So you're preparing for Jackson Dart, and you're preparing for Brian Daboll's offense. And all of a sudden, Brian Daboll's fired, Jackson Dart's not available. And now Captain Chaos himself, Jameis Winston, is starting at quarterback. And Mike Kafka, a first-time head coach, will be the one that's coaching the team and calling the plays. So this is an interesting game. A lot of unscouted looks, a lot of new energy for New York. You get a little bit of that bump from having a new head coach, a new quarterback out there. It's going to be a very interesting Giants team. Meanwhile, for Green Bay, you've got now got this entire kicker situation. Malik Heath doesn't travel with the team. There's just a level of chaos to this one. And Green Bay, again, two-game losing streak coming off of, you know, back-to-back home games. The Giants are on a four-game losing streak. Something's got to give here. If Green Bay can control the chaos and manage all the variables that are out there, I feel good about Green Bay in this one. Same thing would go for New York, though. If they can handle it and get a little bit of that excitement from a coach and a quarterback that are a little bit new, bring a little bit new energy, that could be advantageous for New York as well. We'll keep an eye on it throughout the course of the game. Number two, not going to surprise anybody. It's the play of the offensive line for Green Bay. And even a little bit more specifically, Sean Ryan starting at center for the first time. You're on the road. We'll see how noisy it is. I do expect there to be a decent amount of Packers fans there. Not sure how fired up the crowd is for a, you know, Giants team that's lost a lot of games and have lost four of their last four. But if you give them a reason to cheer, they'll cheer. So you are potentially in a little bit of a hostile environment. You also have a fantastic defensive line for the Giants, which we'll talk about again in just a second. This offensive line needs to come prepared and ready to play. It has been the Achilles heel of this team. It has been their biggest weakness. Everyone to a T, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, anyone else that plays, if they go six offensive linemen, whatever the case may be, they have got to be better. The focus has got to be better. The intention, the attention to detail and the energy needs to be better. The fundamentals need to be better. You've got to be able to protect Jordan Love. You've got to be able to find a way to run the football against the worst run defense, arguably, in all of football. This is a really bad run defense against a really bad run offense in Packers offensive line. Something's got to give, and it's got to be Green Bay that wins that battle. This is not dissimilar to the Cleveland Browns. Green Bay held every advantage in that game except for the Packers offensive line against the Browns defensive front. I would argue the same thing in this game. The Packers hold every advantage in this game except for the fact that it's the Packers offensive line against the Giants defensive front. And the Giants have a huge advantage there. If the offensive line craps the bed like they did against the Browns, all bets are off. Game on. Look out. You could run into problems really quick. If Green Bay's offensive line does work, gets the run game going like they did against the other two worst defensive lines when it comes to stopping the run in football, Dallas and Cincinnati, they should be totally fine. This is like the matchup in this game. Packers offensive line, which is quite frankly sucked, versus the Giants defensive line, which is really, really good. If Green Bay can neutralize that, not make that the story of the game, Green Bay's just going to win. So if you want to take your eye off the ball early, watch the Packers in the trenches, specifically on the offensive line, and see who's winning that matchup. Green Bay has to find a way to neutralize, which is number three on our list, neutralize Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, and Abdul Carter specifically. Brian Burns has played as one of the best defensive players in all of football. Not defensive linemen, not defensive ends, defensive players in all of football. Dexter Lawrence has given the Packers a ton of problems over the last couple of seasons when they've played each other. And Abdul Carter, he was the third overall pick in the draft for a reason. He's a fantastic, bendy, athletic edge rusher that can give you a ton of problems as well. This offensive line has got to be ready. Again, it's the one advantage that the Giants have in this game. The Green Bay Packers have to find a way to mitigate it and not have it come down to Green Bay's offensive line against the Giants' defensive front, specifically from a pass rushing standpoint. But that just means Green Bay's going to have to find a way to run the ball as well against, again, a Giants defensive front that is not great at stopping the run. Number four, you got to find a way to turn over Jameis Winston. This is the most turnover. If Aaron Rodgers, I always say, is the most risk-averse quarterback in the history of the NFL, Jameis Winston might be the most turnover-worthy play quarterback in the history of the NFL. I still can't get over the fact that he had a 30-30 season, 30-plus touchdowns, 30-plus interceptions in a season. Yet Green Bay's played him three times and has zero interceptions to show for it. This Packers defense has had trouble getting their hands on the football when it comes to interceptions and just turnovers in general. We saw the forced fumble last week, which was positive, but interceptions have been pretty rare for this Packers defense. This is the week. You've got the quarterback. The Giants' offensive line is not that good. Your defensive line should be really good. You should have an advantage. It should cause pressure. It should cause chaos. Jameis Winston should throw you a few. Can you get some interceptions, please and thank you? They can. I really like Green Bay's chances in this game. If Jameis somehow finds a way to take care of the football, you know he's going to put, usually, you know, the book on Jameis is he's going to put up yards and probably touchdowns. But he's also going to give you the ball. But if you don't take away the ball and he just ends up with yards and touchdowns, that's a horse of a different color. So Green Bay's got to figure out a way to turn over Jameis Winston in this game. Doesn't have to be a pick either. Sack, fumble works. I don't care. Choose your weapon of choice. Be my guest, but got to find a way to turn him over. Number five, Green Bay's got to limit the mental mistakes. You're not playing good enough football to survive the little things right now. And if Green Bay goes into New York and we see the false starts, we see the drops, we see some turnovers, we see some plays that are, I would like to say, uncharacteristic, but frankly have been fairly characteristic of this team. Again, it opens up that door for the Giants. Packers cannot beat themselves in this game. Number six, who handles the conditions in this game? Wind speeds up to 18 miles per hour. Could affect the kicking game. Could affect the passing attack. You know, Jordan's got to be careful. We saw, you know, a couple weeks ago when he's, you know, against Carolina, we saw some winds in that game. Throws against the wind. Ball gets kind of batted down by the wind and it is falls harmlessly into the hands of, you know, Merrig, the safety for Carolina. So which team handles the conditions? And that goes back to running the football. You don't want to mess with the winds. All right, run the football. Which team can do that better is going to have a huge leg up in this game. Speaking of that kicking game, that's number seven. It's a battle of Young Wei Koo versus Lucas Haversick in all likelihood. Could easily come down to a kick or two. You've got backup kickers on both sides battling windy conditions in New York. What could possibly go wrong? Kicker that can handle it better makes their field goals. One that the coaches trust, and again, they can go out and execute. It's going to be advantageous. I could easily see with high winds and two backup kickers, the kicking game being a major factor in this game. Number eight, can you get Jordan Love in a little bit of rhythm early? We've seen Jordan be a rhythm passer in his career, meaning he's a bit of a streaky shooter. He's off, he can stay a little bit off. You get him in rhythm and all of a sudden he can complete 20 plus passes in a row like we saw against Pittsburgh. It's tough to get those easy completions early. You know, some of the little wide receiver screens and stuff, that's more of like an extended handoff and those haven't worked great. But can you just find some short and intermediate stuff, maybe a quick out to Romeo Doubs early that just gets Jordan a little bit in rhythm to this game? I think if you get him in rhythm, you start getting him some confidence back. Feels like he needs just a little bit of a boost right now. I think that could go a long way for Green Bay. Number nine, tackling for this Packers defense is going to be huge. I don't think the Giants wide receivers are going to have a big day in this one. I don't think they're, we'll talk about that more in just a moment as well. But I think this is going to be a game where the Giants are going to try to establish the run. And you could see it's a double-edged sword a little bit because I think you would normally see a lot of checkdowns. It is Jameis Winston, so you never quite know if he's going to take those checkdowns or not. But in general, I think you could see a lot of Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, their backup running back, you know, Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger, their two tight ends. I think you could see a lot of short and intermediate passes to those four players. And when you get those, you can't allow extra yardage. They're not the shiftiest players in the world. So get them to the ground, form tackle, rally to the football, and make sure that they're not picking up those extra yards. Make it so that they have to do the heavy lifting with their wide receivers, which are completely beat up with no Darius Slayton and no Malik Nabers. So I think you've got to make sure that you're sure tackling and making sure that they're not getting that extra yards after the catch with players that should not be getting a lot of extra yards after the catch. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Number 10, Green Bay's got to be a lot more efficient in plus territory and especially the red zone. They have been brutally bad once they get into opponents' territory. Turnovers, sacks, you know, having to punt the ball away because you're taking big negative plays, missed field goals, you know, red zone inefficiencies, all of it. It's all there. It all exists for Green Bay. When they get into plus territory and have an opportunity for points, again, they're not good enough right now to leave points out on the field. They've got to take advantage of it. Even if it's a, you know, 50-yard field goal, you got to make that field goal. If they get in the red zone, they got to convert those to touchdowns. That's where Green Bay's really got bogged down. They haven't punted a ton. I know they did a little bit more against Philly, but they haven't punted a ton. They've had plenty of success getting into opposing territory, and then things just immediately stall out. They've got to be a lot more efficient when they get into plus territory in this game. Number 11, we talked about the Giants wide receivers. This is their group of wide receivers in this game. Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah Hodgins, Gunnar Olszewski, and Dalen Kimber. That would be number 32 out of 32 wide receiver units in the NFL. Green Bay's corners have to be able to shut them down. I understand if sometimes you get one-on-one and you lose to Ja'Marr Chase. We saw that. Okay, it's Ja'Marr Chase. I understand if you get one-on-one and you lose that one-on-one to George Pickens on the outside. It's George Pickens. It's going to happen from time to time. I understand. Same thing for Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. We can go on and on. It can't be Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah Hodgins, Gunnar Olszewski, or Dalen Kimber. Just can't be. You've got to be able to win your one-on-ones on the outside. If Jeff Hafley wants to bring a little bit more pressure on Jameis Winston because he's holding onto the football and Jameis is going to take those shots to his wide receivers, you got to shut it down, limit the holding pass interference penalties, and maybe, just maybe, like we talked about earlier, would be nice, maybe get your hands on a football, pick something off, and you know what, even add the extra, you know, a little bit there. Maybe take it the distance too while you're at it. It's been a while since we've seen a Packers pick six. Last but not least, number 12. It's time to have some freaking urgency. We're not in, you know, I get 5-1-1. You're sitting there. You have the ability to maybe, you know, have a little bit of leeway. Doesn't have to be perfect yet. You lose two in a row at home. You've got a fairly daunting schedule the rest of the way. You can't lose this game. No matter what, you just cannot lose this game. I don't want to see tightness. I don't want to see the team be like, oh my God, what if things go wrong? I want to see them play with that intensity, energy, and urgency that they need to play with. I go back to, you know, I've been the one that's been hesitant to say like, hey, can we stop comparing to Detroit? Detroit has as little playoff success as of late as Green Bay has. You know, Green Bay beat Detroit earlier this year. The same week, Green Bay lost to Carolina. Detroit lost to Minnesota. It was the same basic thing, right? Can we stop giving Detroit so much praise? Well, I'm going to go against myself here for a moment. After the loss to Minnesota, Detroit had their kind of come to Jesus moment. Dan Campbell took over play calling responsibilities and they went out and they whooped up. Now it's a Commanders team that was brutal and beat up. I get it. The Packers had the Eagles after. Those are not created equal, okay? But Detroit came out pissed off following that loss to Minnesota. They lost. They knew it. They know they needed to play, get better. And the next week they come out and they boat race Washington. It's a bad Washington team. I get it. But you get my point too. Without even comparing, I don't even care what Detroit did. I want to see Green Bay come out pissed off in this game. They've lost two in a row. They're supposed to be Super Bowl contenders. Come out against a, 2-8 Giants team and get after them. Play your brand of football, play pissed off, and go out and get a big win. That's what I want to see in this game. Play with that sense of urgency that you better have and need to have in this game. My 12 keys, manage the chaos of a crazy week and going to New York and Jameis Winston, etc. Offensive line needs to play well. You need to be able to manage Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, and Abdul Carter, that Giants defensive line. Got to be able to turn over Jameis Winston, limit the mental mistakes, or just maybe eliminate them would be nice. handle the wind speeds up to 18 miles per hour. Kicking game is going to be huge. Two backup kickers. Get Jordan Love in rhythm. Make sure you're tackling well. Take those checkdowns and stop them right where they get it. Don't allow them to get extra yards after the catch. Make sure you're having a more efficient offense in plus territory and in the red zone. Win your one-on-ones against these giant wide receivers that, quite frankly, are just not very good, and have that sense of urgency and pissed-off mentality that you need to have going into this game. Packers are 7-point favorites going into this one. My prediction, it's going to be right at that 7. Packers 23, Giants 16. Packers pick up a win. Not the sexiest thing in the world. It happens. It's all right. I'm just happy with a win if they can get it in this one. I don't need style points. Style points are out the window. Just win, baby, by any means necessary. I think they will. My gut is a little bit in this one. I don't feel great. I think it's just, honestly, it's just nervousness. Green Bay has every right to go and win this game relatively easily. It just what we've seen as of late, and just the way things have been going, it just, how can you not be nervous going into any game right now? It just feels like there's so much on the line in this one. It's the opposite of last week. I said last week, my head said Philly, my gut said the Packers. This week, my head says the Packers. My gut doesn't say the Giants, but my gut just is like, is just nervous and anxious, and it just needs a Luigi's pizza, maybe. Hopefully a Luigi's victory pizza. Some other games to watch on this day, noon games that'll be going on at the same time. Buccaneers at Bills, huge game for Tampa. Bears at Vikings, huge game in the NFC North. The game right after, Green Bay, Seahawks at Rams, huge, huge game in the NFC West and in the NFC in general. That could very well be, you know, for NFC supremacy, which team ends up winning that is potentially going to have the pathway to the number one overall seed in the NFC. And then Lions at Eagles, another one of those games with huge NFC implications. That's a Sunday night game. So after Green Bay's done, if Green Bay gets hopefully that big win, lots to keep an eye on with Seahawks at Rams and Lions at Eagles. Depending on how things go, Packers could end up ending the day first in the NFC North and the number 3 seed in the NFC going into week 12. If they lose, they could find themselves where they're at now, number 3 in the NFC North, and could be on the outside looking in the playoff picture. Lots on the line in this game. Hopefully Green Bay comes away with a big win. I think they will. Again, 23-16 Packers is my prediction. I will see you guys live for the post-game show. I'll be immediately following the game. I'm going to try to do a pregame show. My son has a soccer game from about 10 to 10:45. I'm about 40 minutes away. I'm going to try to get here at 11:30 a.m. Central, boot it up, and do a live pregame show for the last 30 minutes right before game time. I can't guarantee it. Just depends on travel and some things like that if the game goes long, whatever. So I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm not going to post it, but I may post it last minute. And on Twitter, I'll put a tweet out as well, and out on Blue Sky as well if I do end up going live. But just keep an eye on it. That's why you should have alerts on if you're on YouTube for the Packaday podcast. So anytime we do go live or put up a new episode, you're alerted for it right away. But I'm going to try to do again around 11:30 a.m. Central Time for a quick pregame show. But for sure, we'll be live immediately following the game for a live postgame show. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jason Rimmon, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, Johnny Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nino. I'll see you guys all very soon. Enjoy the game, but until next time, and as always, and especially on game day, go Pack Go.